Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. Typically, we have Joe McGranahan here, but he is enjoying a Christmas vacation, so he'll be back next Wednesday. So his retirement lengthened weekend is doubled and redoubled again. But we're glad to say John Shipman is here. He's a Sunbury resident. He's been on Borough Council and Sunbury Revitalization Incorporated's board and SPARC, which is Sunbury Pride and Renaissance Coalition, which is the catalyst. Probably the biggest hat that he's wearing right now, and he'll be happy to take any checks you have for him for the Albright Center. So welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you very much, Mark. Good to be here.
And a conservative, I should say. And a good common sense, really thinks it through. When I get an email from John telling me how he feels about a certain topic, you got to take it seriously because somebody's done a lot of work on typically, and that these are kind of viewpoints that you can really defend. So how's that described you?
Okay. I appreciate that. I think you're right. You have to know why you believe something. And just not because somebody told you that, but you have to understand why you have the position you do.
Well, somebody told me to be liberal and oppose the president and hate the wall
Well, you know, the wall is an interesting subject because in 2006, Congress passed a law to build the wall. And interestingly enough, Chuck Schumer and Barack Obama both voted for that legislation.
2006. Okay. 2006. And did that happen?
No. And that's the problem. We've been addressing this issue for almost 30 years, and we pass legislation, but nothing happens because the money doesn't get appropriated. So here we are. Still talking about the wall 20 years later.
Well, and this is going to be the strangest thing to ever come out of my mouth. It's only $5 billion. I mean, as federal expenditures go,
it's a drop in the bucket.
It's infinitesimally small. You know, half of Pennsylvania could contribute that amount of money in federal taxes in less than a year. So, I don't know. Yeah.
The other side is it costs us $138 billion a year to support the illegal aliens that are already here. So, the more that come, the more it costs. Some states, the state of Florida, costs every taxpayer $1,200 a year
to support individuals who are there illegally.
Right. Pennsylvania's only about $300. We have a fairly large population and a fairly small population of illegal aliens, which are basically concentrated in a couple of cities.
If we don't really notice it, but if you had to pay that $300 in a check, like here's April 15th, you have to put your $300 in for individuals who are in the U.S. or in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania.
In the U.S. illegally, but
if you're in Florida and had to write a $1,200 check, you'd really be upset.
Ooh, you can buy a refrigerator for that or support one individual. So, yeah, and I think these are important topics. And, you know, what John and I just did was talk about three or four of the 972 factors that seem to relate to immigration. One of our listeners, as you were saying, as soon as you said $1,200 in Florida, one of our local listeners sent me a text that says most of those individuals were let in the U.S. legally. So I guess maybe they overstayed or, you know, got in to do work and didn't go past.
And that is part of the problem. People come here on a work visa, people come here on a student visa, and they just never go home.
Is what he's saying correct, though? Most MOST?
I'm not sure about that. I can't answer that.
Well, and of course, we are talking Florida, I should say, not everywhere.
Right.
But anyway.
Interestingly, we can track a cow to the stall in which it was born
with those tattoo numbers,
mad cow disease and so forth. But we can't track 22 million people who are in the United States illegally.
Individuals, many of whom are paying taxes into the system, from whom they receive some benefit, but some individuals who have false credentials pay Social Security, which they'll never be able to withdraw because you can't withdraw it if you don't have
a
legal ID. They do get it back.
Some do pay. Some work jobs where they're classified as day laborers and paid at the end of the day every day. And those people aren't even on the books.
Well, and I'm lucky enough to know some folks that are very keen on homeland security, and they're always nervous about the Mexico border because it's so easy for individuals to get in there. Right. Now, the U.S. is vulnerable in a lot of ways, if you ask them, and they'll tell you, the Canadian border is unfenced in many locations.
Porous. Yeah.
And, right, to say the least. Well, not even porous. It's just unguarded,
right. Really.
There's some places up there, they say there's little square markers you go past that says you're entering Canada, turn back. It's like, well, I'm sure that'll have a significant impact. But in any event, But they do worry about the Mexico border because they're concerned about Homeland Security. They could care less about an illegal immigrant who wants to work here or something like that, or doesn't want to work or whatever. But they're concerned about individuals who wish to do us harm,
right. Having
unfettered access.
And I've heard
locations.
People say, well, that's an insignificant amount. It's only 2 or 3%. But if you take 2 or 3% of 400,000 people that come through the border every year, now we've got quite a few terrorists coming into our country, or people who are coming here not for our good, but to do us harm.
All right. Well, we can talk about that. Joe and Steve must not have read any emails yesterday because there's a stack of emails there. Some of them go as far back as the 20th. And John and I will be more than happy to read some of these. We'll start with the most recent ones, but then some go back to the 20th with border wall that's unread. So we can get to those. And we would invite you to call us. So, folks, you can participate in the show by calling the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. That is 1-800-795-9565. Call us now if you wish to. 1-800-795-9565. The wall is just what I see the emails are about and what I thought I'd ask John about. But there are a number of other topics we can address. One of our emailers sent us a note. I see the subject line is pot, which I'm assuming it doesn't have anything to do with anything in the kitchen. Probably has something to do with legalized marijuana, which the governor started that conversation a little bit this week. And their GOP said that won't be happening. Thank you very much. So, but those are some of the topics there, so we can talk about those. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. And it's proudly sponsored by some individuals and some businesses. Terry's out of the Shade Mountain Pharmacy on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills, and he's the key player out there and the pharmacist, and would just love to talk to you about what's it going to take for you to make sure that your prescriptions are precisely what you want them to do. They're having the desired impact from whomever prescribed them, and there's no harmful interactions. That's Terry. Tyler is out at Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg. Walnut Street, that's, of course, the main drag in Mifflinburg, Route 45. And he would just love to talk to you there and make sure that you're getting everything you can from a pharmacist. A lot of people think you go up, you wait in line, you give them you take a number, you go do some shopping and buy some stuff from China, then come back to the window, and they hand you your stuff. But it doesn't have to be that way. First, there's no line typically at Trutz, but there is personalized service on a first-name basis. Steve's at the Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street in Northumberland. Ask him why he's got a stack of tires in the lobby. He likes car racing, so he buys his tires and they get delivered to the store. But he also has a wide range of other products, and he can get anything via catalogs that he got next-day delivery. Deliver it right to your home if necessary, and that's Steve at the Norrie Pharmacy. Kathy's at the Danville Pharmacy. Would just love to talk to you about what it takes to run a modern pharmacy, the computerization and digital services, in addition to a wide range of things in the pharmacy, is what she's got on Mill Street. Jennifer's at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, smartest person everywhere she goes, says she would be just very, very glad to talk to you about interactions and some of the newest drugs. You may have seen something on TV. The pharmacists say it does. You do see on TV ads, ask your doctor about X drug, but Jennifer will tell you the very first people almost person, individuals almost always ask, is their pharmacist. Much greater access, and you can belly up to the counter at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and she'll help you out and answer your questions. And Brad's at the Lewisburg Pharmacy, 2nd Street in Lewisburg. Wide range of products in the Lewisburg Pharmacy. And we're going to talk about why my allergy medicine comes from the Lewisburg Pharmacy. Probably in the weeks ahead we'll mention that. But that's Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy, 2nd Street in Lewisburg. That's because the allergist is in Lewisburg. And that's the answer since you asked the question. And hometown pharmacies. These are hometown businesses, and they would just love to talk to you in person. They sponsor our hometown pharmacy toll-free line, which is open right now, 1-800-795-9565. We've heard a lot of talk about the wall, so we'll read these emails, but maybe you have a different take on it or a different nuanced argument. It seems to be the wedge that divides the Republicans and the president, or I'm sorry, Democrats and the president on the government shutdown that's underway. And I saw on a TV package that this government shutdown closed Steamtown. So I didn't realize national parks would be closed because of this. So that seems kind of hurting the common man unnecessarily, in my view. But anyway, so that's happening. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com if you would like us to hear your remarks about that. You can also text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just sign up or just reply to a previous message. If you haven't done so, you can sign up at wkok.com. So would it be safe to say that you think a border wall could help us to a certain extent?
Well, securing the border can have a number of different facets. Certainly a wall is effective if it's built correctly and if it's monitored. But I don't think that it's practical along the whole 1,200 miles or whatever we have a border. But there are effective ways to basically close the border. And it's really important that we do. While they argue in Washington, D.C. about whether we should or should not close the border, it's the working people that suffer. Because while the wealthy people in the last 30 years, wealthy people's income has increased 15 times what the working people have. Because we have this constant inflow of new labor who are willing to work cheap. So, you know, I know that you've got a great boss, but if somebody came in here and said they'd do your job for half the money and do it just as well as you do, maybe your boss would have to think about that. And that's the problem working people have. All through since the 90s, we sent good jobs, good paying jobs to Mexico and so forth. Automobile manufacturing jobs that paid $25 an hour went to Mexico for a third of that. Certainly that helps make cheaper cars, but it also adversely affected hundreds of thousands of workers in Detroit and so forth. Detroit in the 90s became a ghost town because these kind of things that the elite want. So they argue about it and we choose up sides, but basically, the president wants a wall, but the Republicans don't want the wall. They controlled Congress for 2 years. If they really wanted a wall, they could have voted the wall in.
There'd be one. All right, well, we're going to talk about that. You've mentioned the elites a couple times. I'm going to have to ask for a definition at some point, but I think that's important. Call us now if you'd like to weigh in on this. Now's the time to do so. All four lines are open, so there won't be any waiting. 1-800-795-9565. And I'll call up the emails that we've received that relate to the wall. So we'll read those. And we're going to probably, I would think this topic would expire, and then we'll have open phones and move on to another topic. But we'd just love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565. Mr. Shipman just said the Republicans do not want the wall. Is that true? Is the president the only one in town who really wants the wall? Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We'll take all comers on any topic you wish to, but we're talking about the border wall, and I see 7 unread emails that relate to the wall. And maybe this is the biggest one, or maybe this is an important one, because it says all these Democrats who say they hate the wall thought it was okay before. One of our listeners sent us this. It's not her writing. It's a clipping. It says, President Obama, President Clinton, Chuck Schumer all voted for a border wall in the Secure Fence Act of 2006. The Secure Fence Act of 2006, which was passed by a Republican Congress and signed by President Bush, George W. Bush, authorized about 700 miles of fencing along certain stretches of land between the border of the U.S. and Mexico. The act also authorizes the use of more vehicle barriers, checkpoints, and lighting to curb illegal immigration, and the use of advanced technology such as satellites and unmanned aerial vehicles. And then in boldface, she sent us, it says, at the time the act was being considered, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Chuck Schumer were all members of the Senate. Schumer of New York is now the Senate Minority Leader. Obama, Clinton, and Schumer and 23 other Democratic senators voted in favor of the act when it passed by the Senate on a vote of 80-19. Originally, the act called the Department of Homeland called on the Department of Homeland Security to install at least two layers of reinforced fencing along some stretches of the border. That was amended later, however, through the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2008, which got rid of the double layer enforcement part. Currently, 702 miles of fencing separates the U.S. from Mexico, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. So they were in favor of a fencing back then. And it's just a football. So now the president has the football, and now the Democrats are trying to get it away from him.
Yeah, unfortunately, when you're on one side of an issue and now you're on another side of an issue, it's all politics. It's not what's best for the country. It's what political advantage can my party get out of that? And both parties are guilty of that. I'm not singling out one party or the other. So instead of really caring about the American people, they're more concerned about their gaining advantage in Congress and so forth. And it's sad.
Another listener says some countries do have walls. Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Spain, Morocco, France, Finland, Northern Ireland, Israel, the Israeli West Bank, in India, Bangladesh, a wall exists. So these are countries that say some sort of a fence or a wall has an impact. Another listener says, just a thought, maybe instead of spending $6 billion on a wall, we should think of why people are willing to break our laws to get here. Maybe if we stop making it so attractive by giving away so much to people here, John's shaking his head yes as I read here. Maybe if we stop making it so attractive by giving away so much to people here illegally, it would deter their drive to come here. Think how much money this would save the American citizens, says Don.
That's a good point. You know, we think about $6 billion as a lot of money. It's fairly small when we look at a $4 trillion federal budget. But we spend $138 billion, last count I saw, $138 billion on services, free services that we provide for these people who come here. So if there was no incentive to come, they wouldn't come. I understand they want jobs. First of all, those who are fleeing oppression are very small percentage of it. Most of them tell you right up front, we came because we were promised good jobs. Okay? So if we took away the incentives, most of them would say, not going there because there's no opportunity there. I'll just stay where I'm at.
And we're going to, don't forget, we're going to find out why the elites think this is a good system. Okay, so we'll talk about that. All right, questions. Another emailer sends us a note, and it says, questions arose around the validity of the claim that 40% of temporary visa workers have never left this country. There are pages of links on Google. Here are two. On the question of what is better than a $30 billion wall stretching the length of our southern border, drones and sensors is part of that answer. The Ming Dynasty are probably rolling in their graves after all the work they did on the Great Wall. Okay, so, yeah, talking about electronic security rather than brick-and-mortar security, I suppose. Another listener sends us a note, says, in the month of December, three Pennsylvanians have died in attacks in Afghanistan. Their families' holidays will be filled with pain. President Trump is cutting the number of troops in Afghanistan by 50%. I wholeheartedly support this move. I also agree with withdrawing from Syria. So that does not relate to the wall. Sorry about that. But a very important viewpoint. No argument about that. Somebody's going to say, Mark, what do you think the president's doing that's right? And that's ignoring the hawks and pulling out of Syria. That's fine with me. So he can do all that he wants.
Did you notice that the national press is criticizing him for doing that?
Well, and if he had ramped up activity in Syria, they'd be flipping out even worse. Okay, so one quickie note from the newsroom. An accident with multiple injuries at mile marker 194 and 195 at Interstate 80 westbound in Union County. That's about 2 miles after the Jersey Shore exit. So, be aware of that. So, injury accident, I-80 westbound. So, certainly I-80 westbound might have some slowdown there, and watch out for the idea of a blockage. And if you can't get off at Jersey Shore, you're going to be in trouble there because getting off at Mile Run doesn't help anything. Okay, so another listener says, a very obvious sign of the hypocrisy over liberal ranting about border wall funding is the amount that states spend on needless sound abatement barriers around the U.S. In 2010, studies showed Pennsylvania spent over $276 million on sound abatement walls alone. The PennDOT website says it costs $2 to $3 million per mile to put up such a wall. They're building some 25 miles of it in Philadelphia alone on I-95. Are you kidding me? Just because Jim and Betty Lou don't like the sound of cars and tractor trailers, and now they're painting overpasses in special designer colors in Philadelphia. Let's see. How about the electronic PennDOT signs telling us the roads are slick when it's raining? Geez, build the wall. Shut it down, says Duffy. All right. And I'm told that we read that yesterday, so Joe's not deleting these things like he's supposed to. Let's see. Does this relate to the wall, or did I highlight this falsely? Okay, here we go. Another listener sends us a note. Says, I'll start this by stating, I believe your co-host is a good man. That said, I could not believe he said that 65 terrorists coming across the southern border is nothing to worry about. I live in a state where more than 100 illegal immigrants enter every week. I can assure Steve Kushiloff that it is very concerning that any one of these illegals could be a terrorist. All right, so we appreciate that email. Another one is that, why do I keep highlighting that one? Didn't I highlight that one before?
I think.
One of them says, it's too bad we can't build the wall out of Russian collusion because people just can't get over that, LOL, says Mike Bolig. And there's that one again. And finally, good morning, Joe. It says, this came in right after you and Steve got off the air. Best regards from Larry, who's living in Texas but is from our valley. And this is from a GOP insider brief. And it says, former acting ICE director Tom Homan on Wednesday blasted the House Democratic Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi for calling a border wall ineffective and accusing President Trump of fear-mongering with the illegal immigration issue. Quote, and this is Homan's quote, Every place a wall or barrier has been built, it has resulted in decreased illegal immigration, decreased drug smuggling. 100% of the time, it has proven effective, Holman told Fox News. He explained this year, along the border, arrests of MS-13 gang members were up 118%, and seizure of guns was up almost 200%, adding, you can see why we need a wall.
You know, that's a good point. The drug issue just seems to get lost in this because it's all about, you know, Jesus was an immigrant and so on. But, you know.
Right. Mary was an unwed mother.
Yeah, so, right.
Unwed virgin.
Yeah, right. So, you know, when you think about this, the southern border is where the bulk of illegal drugs come into the United States. Does it come in? Yeah, sure. It comes in at other ports and so forth. But you can a person with a backpack can carry across the Rio Grande and come in along this huge long border, and the drug arrests even at the ports of entry, where tractor trailers have false bottoms and so forth. It's just unbelievable. To seal that border up would do a lot to help the flow of Chinese opioids and so forth that doctors don't need to prescribe because you can just buy them on the street.
Okay, so what if we legalize drugs and tax them, you know, and let drug companies make our opioids, and well, which they do make some, but
well, the problem is that some of these drugs are highly addictive. The issue we have with opioids is that we have a lot of former working people who, for instance, might suffered an injury and are trying to manage the pain, so their doctor prescribes an opioid to help manage the pain. This is a legitimate situation. But they get hooked on the opioids, and now they need more and more and more. So how do you manage that? Well, it takes a concerted effort by all of us to come up to some kind of a understanding on this.
All right. Now we've mentioned 12 of the 569,000 factors related to immigration. Okay. Thank you, John. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We're going to enjoy open phones as we continue. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Rob Senner, the most fabulous producer we ever had in 2018. So we very much appreciate his hard work on the other side of the glass. He likes the qualifier 2018. And we've had some other producers here, and they were pretty good, too. But Rob's the fabulous, and so we appreciate that. John Shipman is with me today, local conservative. That's the hat he's wearing, but he is a good Sunbury volunteer on a wide range of topics and endeavor. And I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. Of course, I've been in this chair off and on all year, so you know how bad I am. All right, we do have some brief news headlines. There was an accident with multiple injuries, entrapment and ejection at mile marker 194 on I-80 westbound. So that's folks heading out of our valley on Interstate 80. It's in Union County, about 2 miles after the Jersey Shore exit. So do watch out for that. That'll be a slow down out in the middle of nowhere, really, as far as I'm concerned. So you have to watch out for that on Interstate 80 westbound. It looked more like the 4th of July than the day after Christmas last evening when fireworks started exploding at a storage building near Roarsburg Wednesday night. Press Enterprise reports a series of explosions lasted about 10 minutes. Their videographer posted a video on Facebook, and we have that link at WKOK.com. It's quite spectacular. The blaze started around 7 p.m. in a storage building owned by Craig Riker. Needy Family Fund continues to grow, now above $111,000, thanks to $500 from one of the trust funds at Zion Lutheran Church in Sunbury. Jessica Tupere says she very much loves it when this plan falls together.
It's really quite incredible. It's just a picture of love. It's a picture of generosity. It's just a picture of how much giving that we can do as a group, and just how much, you know, need there is, and we want to be there for the community.
Jessica Dupuy, saying that BB&T, WKOK, Daily Item, and Dagenstein Foundation, she's very grateful for all the individuals who put the Needy Family Fund together. The leader of this is the Daily Item, and WKOK's kind of trailing publicity, but we definitely enjoy being a part of that. But Jessica Dupuy says thanks to everybody who put it together, and thanks to the many, many people who contributed. And two law changes in Pennsylvania. If anybody has an opinion about these law changes, give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. The first phase of Pennsylvania's Clean Slate law that seals lower-level nonviolent crimes from public review has gone into effect. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports, as of yesterday, people can petition for certain misdemeanors such as simple assault, drunk driving, and theft to be sealed. Misdemeanor records will automatically be sealed in June if a defendant has gone a decade without a new conviction. The law also seals records of arrests that did not result in convictions. The law does not expunge convictions, and sealed convictions will still be visible to police, courts, and prosecutors. Community Legal Services of Philadelphia says it will provide volunteer lawyers. They will provide volunteer lawyers to help people see if their records can be sealed starting in January. So, if I had, a misdemeanor such as a simple assault, I'm surprised simple assault's a misdemeanor. That seems like a bad crime to be just a misdemeanor. But in any event, if I had that in my background, and not multiple offenses of which, but just one, I could have that sealed.
Simple assault is a verbal confrontation.
Not
a physical confrontation.
I gotcha. So aggravated assault is always the step up. Now, doesn't aggravated assault involve the threat of
violence
or actual death or injury?
Yeah.
Or so? Okay. Okay, so simple assault. So if I start really yelling at you about the wall, which I cannot imagine I'm any farther from than I am at this moment, but in any event, that could be simple assault. You could, okay. Yeah, I haven't read the simple assault and aggravated assault papers in a long time. But in any event, okay, so they could be sealed if they're in your back. Plus, intoxicated driving. So, I don't know, 10 years from now, is that means nothing to your employer or somebody who wants to look at that kind of thing?
Well, generally, those are expunged after 10 years anyway, so okay. They would probably be going off. But I think that it's fair. People do stupid things. We've all done stupid things that later we say, well, why'd I ever do that?
Intoxicated is a key word in one of these.
Yeah, right.
There's your first clue.
And so what they're saying is if you made a mistake and you got behind the wheel when you had a couple too many and you got caught and it's 10 years down the road and you've never had another one, it's going to go away.
Right. So that's the Clean Slate Law. That's one law that is now in effect where individuals with some misdemeanors in their past, not felonies, but misdemeanors can have them expunged from their records, or at least have the records sealed in some cases, but some expungement can occur also. All right, so the Clean Slate Law is now in effect. And also another story from Harrisburg, the legal consequences for repeatedly driving under the influence of alcohol in Pennsylvania are, just driving under the influence. Actually, it doesn't even specify. It could be marijuana or some other drug. Anyway, those cases are now more severe under a new law that just went into effect. The legislation passed in October by the General Assembly and signed by the governor establishes the state's first felony DUI. That applies when someone is charged with a third offense with at least twice the legal limit for alcohol or any fourth-time offender. Pennsylvania law sets the legal limit for driving drunk at 0.08%. Previously, all DUI offenses in Pennsylvania were treated as misdemeanors, which carry lighter penalties and fewer consequences. The new law also mandates longer jail time for individuals who unintentionally cause someone's death because of a repeat DUI violation. The stiffer penalties for repeatedly driving drunk in Pennsylvania took effect Sunday. Wow. Okay. So some changes in laws. What do folks think about that? Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy toll-free line. Sponsored by Shade Mountain Pharmacy and Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. That's correct, yes. And text us at 70236. And On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. So we invite you to check them out at sunburymotors.com. Let's see. So DUI. Well, what if... I know if you're charged with conspiracy, it generally carries the same weight as the crime that the conspiracy led to, like a theft or something. Well, why, if you drive drunk and cause a fatality or cause an injury, that's a greater crime. Why isn't simple DUI a greater crime? Because you could have caused a greater injury or death or something like that. I'm surprised that DUI is still thought of as a misdemeanor. You know, it's like a minor offense. Now, you lose your license, and that's usually a pickle for some people. But I'm surprised it's still a minor offense.
It is. It has been. However, repeat offenders have, have some consequences. Generally, if you had a third or fourth DUI within a period of 5 or 6 years, you can get a year in jail. So it's not like it's a little more than a slap on a wrist.
Okay.
But making it a felony, this is just an announcement, so I haven't seen what the penalties might be. But obviously, penalties for felonies are always harsher than for misdemeanors. So it would depend on what they are. But under the previous law, even if it was a misdemeanor, if you were a multiple offender, you could go to jail for a year. And they usually tried to, first you lost your license, the next you got like 30 days in jail and a longer loss of license, but you could get a year in jail.
I'm surprised penalties aren't longer for DUI. I guess you're saying that there are some penalties that may be saying that something's a misdemeanor. That doesn't tell the whole story, really. But I think because of the consequences of DUI, I'm surprised the penalties aren't longer. I'm not really advocating that they be made to be longer.
Well, the other laws come in. For instance, if you are driving under the influence and you kill somebody, now you have a manslaughter. Now you have a manslaughter charge, which is a felony. So it depends on what happens, but it is a serious problem. We know that in the United States, we kill about 35 to 38,000 people a year in automobile accidents, and more than half of those are impaired drivers.
That's a factor.
Drugs, alcohol.
Oh, that's true. So if we are going to have Governor Wolf's conversation, that's all we're doing is enjoying a conversation about it, having legalized pot, then we're going to have to talk about what is the impact of somebody who smoked a lot of pot and driven a car. I smoked pot when I was in high school, and I drove cars, and I don't recall being significantly impaired by it. But then again, you ask a drunk if they're okay, they'll tell you they're all right until they fall off the stool kind of thing, So if we're having the governor's conversation about pot, although Jake Corman says it's irresponsible to even talk about it, so okay, we're going to be irresponsible today and discuss it anyway. That's going to have to be a factor, right? If pot is legal, which alcohol is illegal,
legalization of pot doesn't mitigate the consequences. You go to work and you're high, the boss probably won't appreciate that. And he may give you a warning, or he may send you for a drug test, which he has the right to do. And so there could be serious consequences. So it's like anything else. Can some people handle it responsibly? Sure. Will some people be irresponsible? Absolutely. So how do you regulate that? It's you know, from the investment perspective, some of the hottest stocks in the country right now are cannabis stocks. So
okay. Legal pot.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take all comers on this. You know, I in the past have thought that that's exactly what I advocated for, that we have a conversation about whether marijuana should be legal or not. My personal opinion about whether pot should be legal, I don't know. So many people on both sides have great points. Like if you talk to the man from law enforcement against prohibition, he will tell you that we should just make drugs legal and then enjoy the consequences and deal with them and tax the heck out of them so that, you know, our budgets are bigger. But I do appreciate the fact that it makes it much more difficult for young people to get alcohol. The states, I'm the only person in the world who still thinks we should have a state store system. I can guarantee you that. But it helps keep less pot out of the hands of young people. And I don't want teenagers smoking pot.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Mark, that this is a huge conversation. I don't profess to have near enough information to know, you know, whether it would be a wise or a foolish decision.
So you and the governor agree for the first time
ever? I do. Well, yeah. I'm not an unreasonable guy, and I don't think he is either on some things anyway. But, you know, generally speaking, it will cause some problems. We already understand that. And so how much of a problem is it going to be? How is it going to affect normal people? And tell you that, you know, if one of my daughters was killed in an automobile accident by somebody who was high on pot, I would be furious. And I'm sure you
and
would.
And you'd want justice.
I'd want justice.
Right. And if pot is legal, justice would look different. So, all right, we are talking about laws that have changed in Pennsylvania. We have a clean slate law that seals lower level nonviolent crimes from public view. That's gone into effect. We have a strengthening of the penalties that relate to driving under the influence, and that specifically just says driving under the influence. It doesn't say alcohol or pot. So anytime any impaired driving is could become a felony under certain circumstances. We got a caller waiting. I hope he's patient because I got to take a quick break to stay on schedule. But we'll take your call on this, 1-800-795-9565. If I were, I forget his name, the police officer that is in charge of LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, he'll say legalize all of this. The markets will stabilize. The illegality of the border crossings of pot will stop. And you'll have, of course, you'll have a huge industry in Pennsylvania. Well, it's already a huge industry, and it'll get even bigger in the U.S. Taxation would happen, you know, to legalize pot, although I guess you'd still have a black market for some of it. But the world would be a different place. And, of course, other folks say, well, no, strengthen the drug laws so that there's real consequences for individuals that break these laws. You give us your opinion. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. 1-800-795-9565 is our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line.
I decided to write a little song. Here goes. My hometown pharmacy is great because of all these things. Personalized service, friendly employees. They're always glad to see me. They help out my whole family. My grandmom really likes them, and she's super picky. They know me by my nickname. Bet you still can't guess mine. Ha, ha, ha. Pharmacists who care. Really low prices and all that other stuff that my mom likes, but I just don't understand. Happy holidays from me, hometown kid, and from everyone at the hometown pharmacies in Bloomsburg, Northumberland, Lewisburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, Mifflinburg, and Danville. And Happy New Year. P.S. My nickname is not Hometown Kid.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Lance has been waiting. Thank you so much for joining us. We've been talking about DUI, whether it's alcohol or pot. What's your view on all this?
Well, I think that we should punish that a whole lot more than what we do.
DUI, alcohol. Now, you often advocate for that, so surprise.
Oh, yeah, I do. But here's something. I have my latest bulletin, you know, from MAD. And I didn't realize this, but every year now, 4,300, well, last year anyway, 4,300 kids under the age of 21, of course they're kids, die one way or another from alcohol. That's amazing.
4,300 because of alcohol. You mean they over-consume or crash their car?
Cars or whatever, yeah.
Fall off the roof or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. And all because of underage drinking. Now, if we say that during the last 27 years, 160 kids have been killed in mass shootings, that's pretty something else, isn't it?
So what should we do?
The 150, I'm saying we should go crazy over that. But why don't we go crazy over the thousands and thousands and thousands that die from alcohol?
What should we do, Lance?
Well, Finland has done some good stuff. One is, no matter who you are, your first time you get caught drinking and driving, you get a half your year's salary as a fine. There was a guy who was like some wheel in Nokia, and it cost him something like $12 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Another was a rock star.
Well, but then again, he still got $12 million to keep that year, so.
What I'm saying is they don't have anybody that goes on the highway. They have good time vans. You know, people have made a good living just busing people around who want to get drunk.
Because the DUI laws are so severe, so they take it very seriously. John, what's your view on that?
Well, I think we need to take the DUI laws very seriously. I can remember as a young man, we used to laugh about it. Well, did you drive home? Well, sure, I drove home. I was too drunk to walk. And that, you know, you probably heard some of those same things. So it used to be a joke. Now we realize it's not a joke. It's serious. But I agree with the answer that we don't, it's not serious enough. I think that this new law that went into effect in Pennsylvania is a small step in the right direction. There needs to be serious consequences if you get behind the wheel of a car when you're impaired.
Yeah, I absolutely think how many people die, and I know, I can start just from over-drinking and dying from some physical ailment. I mean, I can start and count on all my fingers and toes in about 10 minutes of people that I've known over the years that are no longer with us because of it. And was a fellow who called, not sure who it was, and said about Europe doesn't have the drinking problem we do? Boy, is that a wrong number.
Yeah.
France. Now, if we kill about almost 100,000 people here every year because of alcohol one way or another, it's 93,000, 95,000. If we had the same one that France did, we'd be knocking off 250,000. That's wild, isn't it? One-fifth of the population, and they kill 50,000. So.
Well, and you think of the beer, if only the beer is being talked about in Germany. You know, my father will gladly tell you about beer consumption in Germany, having, you know, he knows all about it. So I think, is there anybody who's advocating for the relaxation of DUI alcohol laws? So there's no other side to this. So if there's no other side, why aren't the laws right strengthened? Lance, why isn't this advancing in Harrisburg? You know, this is just one little sliver. These people with multiple offenses. Now, granted, that these are strong offenses, but you know, why isn't it a felony on the first offense? You could have killed somebody, and then, you know, then you're in deep trouble.
Well, I think so many of our legislators are alkies.
So they, okay.
Well, you are.
Well, we talked about that a couple times this year, about the Catholic Church having an impact on legislation that related to sexual abuse. So imagine if you get all of the clergy involved in all of the churches, but is that really a factor?
Well, I think
it's a factor.
So much money that goes into this thing. I mean, everything you have there. Well, there was an article in a paper here a little bit ago, in the Sunbury Item, about that microbreweries, you know, their products were being levied with sales tax. And the writer of the piece there really thought this was horrible. And I go to buy my 7-Up, and it's taxed. But, you know,
Why, because of the sugar in it?
Well,
or just because it's a product?
You go take a look at your slip at the checkout, and you'll see that your soda pop was taxed. And,
oh, I see.
Know,
okay.
It appeared to be taxed.
Yeah, so it's a luxury kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not necessary.
But not beer.
Beer's not taxed? Oh, beer's taxed in Pennsylvania, I'm glad to say.
Well,
we need the money.
Apparently not at its source of supply.
I mean, oh, they're right, the beer loophole. I've heard about this. Yeah, the breweries, microbrewers aren't taxed in the same way. But I believe that's changing.
Well, yeah, they're trying to change it, I guess.
Oh, but they haven't done so yet. Probably in November or so, and we had a conversation on the radio that individuals with local brewers, small breweries, were concerned about potential changes in the law. I thought it was a law impact. I thought it was going to happen, that the taxes were going up on local breweries. You know, they were made to be taxed at the same rate. All right. Well, thank you.
Though, we should get out into the forefront, be really horrible, horrible tragedies that are wrought by drunken drivers that might help. It's just like everybody is familiar with Sandy Hook, and we certainly should be. I mean, I'm not, you know, diminishing that one iota, okay? And in Kentucky some years ago, there were 24 children and 3 adults killed by one drunken driver. They rammed their school bus. I believe he was a drunken dump truck driver.
Okay.
And yet, nobody commemorates that. Well, the mad folks do, and have been for years.
So in that local community, there's no observance of that?
What's that?
There's no observance in that local community?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is, but it should be some kind of a national...
Okay. All right, we got you. All right, thank you so much, Lance.
You bet.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. One of our listeners sends us a note, says, if you legalize pot, how about funding welfare recipients? Or how about if for an individual that gets welfare, testing them for pot? No money or benefits if you smoke. I think it would encourage many people who have the desire to kill brain cells to get a job. Next on Governor Tom Wolf's agenda, legalizing prostitution. That way the state can make money off the human trafficking problem. It seems tax money is all that matters into decision-making lately. Well, that is definitely true in Harrisburg. Think of all the things that are legal today, all the gambling law changes and casinos and all that sort of thing. But anyway, oh, and all the changes in liquor laws in terms of where you can buy booze. Frustrated working married parent of teenagers that have the potential to be awesome grown-up humans. Frustrated working married... Oh, this is signed. That's who it's signed by. This letter is signed by a frustrated working married parent of teenagers that has the potential to be awesome grown-up humans. Okay, so yeah, you gotta watch it. Take care of them. Okay, so... legalize pot or even don't legalize it and test welfare recipients. I think that's a terrible idea. I mean, I think that makes individuals who receive our aid guilty. Now, they can prove themselves innocent, you know, so guilty, found guilty, but then you can prove yourself innocent with a blood test to enjoy an entitlement. What's your view on that?
Well, you know, there's a pros and cons to it. My issue with welfare isn't that particular issue so much is that there is a time and a place to help people who need help. And certainly Americans have been very gracious in not just through the welfare system, but through religious organizations and so forth that help people that are down and out. But when you have people on welfare that are able-bodied with no kids, and they still get welfare benefits, especially in the economy we have today when there's 7 million jobs in the United States that are looking for somebody to fill them. Why are we still, and the governor, Pennsylvania legislature, by the way, passed a legislation earlier this year to deny that, and the governor vetoed it. So why do we subsidize able-bodied people between the ages of 21 and 54? Why do we, who are able-bodied, able to work with no dependents, why do we subsidize those?
No, I don't know. That's a good question, but it doesn't have anything to do with drug testing.
No.
But well, we do have work requirements, but I guess they're easy to skirt.
Well, that we used to have work requirements.
Oh, so they're gone.
Bill Clinton signed that. President Obama, by executive order, relaxed that. And now it seems that...
Why?
I'm not sure.
You have to ask President Trump.
Yeah.
Or President
Obama.
You have to ask President Obama.
So now it's the problem is it's this, we need to get rid of executive orders. That's another pet peeve of mine. But
that's another.
So
topic.
Now state by state, they're passing laws that say, well, if you're able-bodied, you have to work. Interestingly enough, when they do that, the welfare rolls drop by about 30%. So that tells me that 30% of the people were just milking the system.
All right. Well, we'll take all comers on this topic. I think welfare recipients should not be drug tested or alcohol tested. John's hinting that he feels as though that could be an appropriate reform of welfare, but he's primarily talked about work related. But drug testing of welfare recipients wouldn't offend you in any way?
Yeah, it's an issue that we need to treat all Americans alike. Okay, I have a problem with the, you know, we are now in this thing where everybody, there isn't much equality anymore. Every group wants their own special privileges and their own special, and I don't, you know, I think as Americans we all ought to be treated alike. And so to single out this group and say, well, I think you ought to be drug tested. I think if you deserve to be on welfare, we should leave you alone. If you really need the help, we should just leave you alone.
Like a bridge, they call it, you know.
Yeah, right.
Between jobs.
But if you don't need the help, you shouldn't be on it.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Call us immediately. We're talking about strengthening the DUI a law in Pennsylvania. We talked about a clean slate bill that would help individuals with misdemeanor offenses in their past. We segued nicely into pot. You know, I mentioned I smoked pot in high school. Well, I could have easily been arrested, you know, and then I'd have that on my record, right? So that would be hopefully expunged by this new law. It didn't happen, but it's just the quirk of luck, I guess. I don't know. But in any event, so those days are behind me. But so we talked about marijuana. Should it be legal and taxed? And Lance talks about strengthening. And, well, I think we at this whole table, we agree that there are some elements of the DUI alcohol laws that could be strengthened to make it to make sure that it's clear to people. Although I think we've accomplished part of what we want. But, you know, in the next 48 hours, there's going to be a DUI wreck around here. Somebody's going to crash their car. Now, they could hurt somebody or themselves. That we don't know. But we know that crashes happen around here fairly regularly. All right, 1-800-795-9565. John wants to find out more about testing welfare recipients. I say no way, don't do it. What's your view on this? 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back. 1-800-795-9565. One of our good listeners correct me promptly. Mr. Stan sent us a text, says, welfare is not an entitlement, period, okay? Welfare is not an entitlement. No one's entitled to the producer's tax money. If welfare recipients can't submit it to a drug test to receive tax dollars for doing nothing, they should not receive it. Says Stan. Well, Stan, you couldn't be more wrong, but I'll give you a bye today. So that's it. All right. Al from Northumberland, thanks for calling in. You're on the
line. I love the good, Good morning. I love the guitar introduction.
Oh, well, thank you. Who is that? Do you know?
I don't know.
I know who knows. Anything. He's on the other side of the glass. I can see out of the periphery of my vision. He threw on his headphones.
The Eagles.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's a Victim of Love from the Eagles.
If you'd have played it a couple of more times, I could have thought of that. Go ahead, Al.
Anyways, I always say, why don't we keep the money ourselves? I'm always calling about the money. Put your money where your mouth is. Then calling about the money again. I guess President Trump's rubbing off on me. But keep everything in the state store. All the drugs. The pot, the heroin, the crack, whatever anybody wants. And then we got a video of them coming in, buying it. We know who they are. And, you know, if you want to find out, you just go there and then you know who's taking what. And as far as when it goes to when you get arrested, when you're on anything welfare, I got arrested for a DUI when I had Section 8 housing. I was not on Section 8, but I was getting a check for $15,000 a month from Section 8.
$15,000?
And before I was even...
$15,000?
I sign a paper when I'm taking government money, and the welfare people should have to sign a paper when they're taking money. And on that paper, if you read the fine print, if you get caught using drugs, you're automatically off. End of story. Nothing for you. You are done. But they wait until you're found guilty. In my case, I had, I think it was nine families, but I was getting, you know, quite a big check.
He's an owner.
Each month. And got a DUI.
Yeah, you're an owner of Section 8 housing, not a resident of it. This all makes so much more sense now.
The same, it should go the same for them, too. If you get a DUI and you're convicted, you lose all that. But before I was even convicted, what I want to say is as soon as they put it in the paper 6 months after it happened, then they decided to take it away. Because before that, nobody told them or they didn't care or they waited till the end. But it was kind of a political thing. But it didn't really, you know, it was under, you got to know how things work. But I'm saying if you go on your signature, you already signed away that if you are on welfare and you get caught on drugs, you're done. And it's the same any program that you're in. You're signing away the program, the help when you are convicted of something, you no longer can receive it.
So let me understand this correctly. You owned properties that were rented under Section 8 housing.
And yes, and I got a DUI, and everybody had to move, and I helped them move.
Unbelievable. Wow.
And
but the people who live there don't have to be...
Before I was even convicted, it was put in the paper 6 months later because I went to work for the government a little bit undercover. And they were keeping everything undercover until I got somebody upset, and then they decided to put it in the paper and ruin my reputation and so on and so forth. But that doesn't really matter. I mean, that's just the way it works. I mean, we are in more of socialist government than we believe. We've been socialists for a long time with all these programs that we're giving money away, not making people work for it. We're more socialist than we think we are, and the government got way too big and they're way too powerful when they can do things like that to people's lives just on a whim. They can do it. I got Merle Phillips mad one time. And, whoa, you don't want to go there. everybody in my family got arrested, including my mother, was 83 years old. Anybody with the same last name that Al had. It's just the way it is. I mean, and I was in a hot tub one time down in Florida, and people were bragging about their heart attacks because they work in the stock market and on Wall Street and so forth, and young guys, oh, I had my heart attack at 50, everything. And I mentioned where I was from, and they said, oh, one of the most crookedest counties in the country. You know, we had a judge in this county that judged his own DUI when he ran over somebody, and he didn't get much because he wasn't as drunk as the other guy he ran over. I mean, they know the story. They know the story of how it goes around here.
Everybody else knows the story but me. Okay. We got you, Al. Thank you very much.
I tried to tell you before.
Okay. Yeah.
I tried to tell you the story before.
Right.
Yeah, then Thank you. Bye.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. Two emails on this topic. Come on, guys. No one should be drug tested. It's a violation of privacy. We can stop right there. You're shaking your head. No? All right. Don't. No urine testing. But that's a bad thing. As for public assistance, do you actually know anyone who's getting welfare? I think you're both making guesses on details that are inaccurate. Where's your humanity, says Margaret. Well, Margaret, I said no testing, so I'm trying to be human about this, or humane. But you say drug testing's a violation of privacy. Yeah, I tend to agree.
Let's talk about the realities. If you're a business owner and you have people coming to work drunk or stoned, you have a right.
Oh, well, that's a
under
big
the. Well, she's saying no drug testing. No drug testing means
oh, okay.
No drug testing
even
under
at
any
workplace.
Yeah, and you know the realities are that if you're a business owner, you have the right. I used to insure a number of large businesses, and back in the 80s when this became a real big problem, many of them started to put up a sign that says all applicants will be drug tested. And they used to tell me people would come in to the employment office to put an application in. They'd read the sign. They'd turn around and walk out. Why? Because they're habitual users. So there
or
is
a once in a while user.
Yeah.
You don't know that they're habitual users. They might be at a hunting cabin where the teenagers were smoking pot or something. You don't know.
That's true. But if you're an occasional user. That means if you use on the weekend and you're clean, you're not high by Monday. Nevertheless, it is a problem, and there needs to be testing. Now, just because you who you are, that's one thing. But for employment, for driving, and so forth, I mean, drug testing is important to protect fellow workers, the general public, and. So if you're stopped on the highway for driving erratically, the police aren't supposed to test you for drugs? Come on.
1-800-795-9565. We have a text related to this. I think drug testing of individuals is wrong, is unfair, and is onerous. John seems to think that there's some drug testing would be okay. So we'll continue to explore this. We got a caller coming in. We got a text. 1-800-795-9565. Call us now. We're talking about drug testing individuals who receive government benefits, whether it's Section 8 or any other form of entitlement or assistance. What about jobless benefits? Now, you paid in. That's an insurance program. Should you be tested before you get that money back? 1-800-795-9565. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, we're talking about drug use, welfare recipients getting tested for pot DUI. We sort of have a substance use theme going on here. One of our listeners texted, says people afraid to be drug tested are guilty. If you don't do drugs, you should have no fear of drug testing. Well, that's not the way the U.S. works, actually. You're innocent until proven guilty, not the opposite, Stan, so I'll respond that way. Anyway, the state store system is corrupt. The state is only interested in money. They don't care if the same person is buying two or three bottles of hard liquor on a weekly basis and continues to sell to that person with no repercussions towards the seller. Well, and I think a private liquor store would have the same thing. They don't care. Like, bars continually serve people who are there every single day and might have an alcohol problem, although they might never do DUI or anything like that. Lance, briefly, you got a minute on the radio. Go right ahead. There we go. Go ahead. Yep, go ahead.
Why, the job that I had for 35 years, we were subject to random drug tests, and I was really glad we were, because I had to depend on a person that was working with me to move objects that weighed tons and tons. And to, sometimes to move these big objects, you had like a quarter of an inch that had to go in to make everything line up, and you had were controlled it by a huge crane, right? You'd want the operator of that crane to be right on the pipe, or you're going to lose your hand, you see.
Okay. Good. So you want people sharp.
Yeah. You had to be there. You're going to get killed. And when you were at that every single day, you realized the responsibility you had not only to yourself, you know, just for your own good, but for someone else's good also. And for that reason, it kept everybody honest. Hardly anybody ever came back positive. But it was what it did, was kept you honest. And I think that in that respect, it's a blooming good idea.
All right. Sounds fantastic. Thank you
and
so much,
you thought that you're working here, and you have to do this, but a person that you're paying out of your pocket to do nothing was not subject to that.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call. Phyllis, go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Good morning. I wanted to introduce two points. One is that I really would like to see people educate themselves more to what benefits are and are not available to people. For instance, earlier there was discussion on an able-bodied person, for instance, 21 to 50, 55, with no children getting assistance. So I will first say that an able-bodied person 21 to 55 is not eligible for cash assistance. So they cannot get cash assistance from the state.
Is that what they would call aid to dependents?
Why did the governor veto that piece of legislation then?
I don't know. Unfortunately, I didn't see that. I don't know. But I can tell you from very personal experience that I am an adult. I'm actually not fully healthy, but I'm an adult. I have no dependents, and I cannot get cash assistance. Now, there's other types of assistance. There's many types of assistance, which have been talked about. Some have been talked about this morning. You know, there's food stamps. There's medical assistance. There's Section 8 housing. There's other things like that. I don't know what all was in the what the governor vetoed. But just as one point of clarity, someone who is able-bodied and, you know, of a working age with no children cannot get cash assistance. So I think that that's something people are easily banter about without knowing full facts. And just the other thing I wanted to discuss briefly is that I think there needs to be better drug testing for people who are smoking marijuana. For instance, if you are drinking alcohol, you know, it goes out of your body at a certain rate, and that varies by people, but, you know, you do a blood alcohol test if you believe someone is drunk, whereas with marijuana, it can stay, you can smoke something, and 30 days later, it's still showing in your system, but you're certainly not still high. So I think in the interests of if we're looking at medical marijuana or legalizing marijuana, I'm not against random drug tests for a lot of things. I think employers certainly have that right, but we need to have good testing to show, oh, you're really impaired right now, as opposed to, oh, I smoked something a month ago.
Okay.
I think that's a big difference.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call, Phyllis. Sure. Thanks for checking in. All right. 1-800.
Thank you.
Yes. 1-800-795-9565. Our telephone number. Speedy dialers only. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Sunbury Motor Company, the place to go if you're interested in a brand new Ford. They got big pickup trucks. They got those big tuna boats that you can buy. That gorgeous F-150s that are for the elite around here. No, they're for everybody. These are working class trucks. I'm just making fun of Johnny. He drives a great blue.
Is your black.
Black. Okay. F-150. It's a looker, too. Matching cap, and I'll tell you what, it's sharp. Hyundai is a vehicle, ultra efficient, but plenty of room for the family. All-wheel drive vehicles. Kia's got the hybrid plus wonderful sedans, the new sporty cars out. You name it, they got that going. And Lincoln, cars and tricks. Trucks. I already got my Lincoln pickup truck picked out. It has the double sets of seats and a six-foot bed and power rear windows and a sunroof and trailer package or towing package already on it. And it is like a rusty red color, and it is just stunningly gorgeous. They put it on the corner of the lot because they knew it would irritate me. Sunbury Motor Company, Prevere Service, and maybe you don't want one of these new vehicles. Well, then just go there to the Quick Lane and get your vehicle fixed. They're a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks, and they're a master towing service as well. Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. Rick, you're going to help close us out. You got 30 seconds.
Yes, my wife is just going to come in to be 62 pretty soon. And between her and I, she's never had no unemployment. We've never had no government assistance whatsoever. I think anybody that went through life and never took any government assistance should be able to retire 1 year earlier, or at 62, retire with full benefits.
Wow, I'm on that list. I like that. That is a wonderful idea. What do you think, John? You've been working in private industry a long time.
Long time.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
You got
take care.
Two votes from this table. Thank you so much for coming in, John.
My pleasure.
I appreciate
it. It's been
fun. You're listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.